Thank the Lord for the blessing of worship and all the times of singing and praying and just being together today. I hope you gain a lot of refreshment about being around each other. Keep praying for the VBS coming up, and also thanking the Lord for the group who came back from New York City. They look excited, and they found their stuff to put on after traveling all week. So next week during the service, we'll hear a lot about that trip and just some of the exciting things God did. So be praying for that time also. And the Lord's relationship to America, our country, was brought closer to our family the last couple of years through church life. And this happened because one of our high school seniors back in Union City, shortly after graduation, went into the U.S. Army. Months after that, he is in Iraq serving the country in very dangerous and hostile areas. His name was Andy Beezup. He was just a normal young fella growing up. And I had known a lot of people who served in the military before that, but he was one of the first ones I knew who grew up before my eyes and before the eyes of my family. And all of a sudden, he was a young man, and he was going off to risk his life in the name of freedom. And we knew Andy and his family since he was about 8 years old. The first time I met him and got to talk with him was a time of trying to help him learn some Bible verses. He was in the Boy Scouts and went through the God and Country Award that Boy Scouts do. So he had to memorize these Bible verses. And I went over his house, and he didn't want to memorize Bible verses. He wanted to fight with his brother at the time. So after they fought and wrestled a bit, I thought, you know, it's hard to teach people the Bible while they're fighting. This is way out of the ordinary. But looking back on it now, I think, is it like the normal week that you and I have? Trying to hear from God in His Word as we work out all the conflicts that are around us. Andy's family grew to really love the Lord and follow Jesus. All of them did that. All seven of them. They're kind of one of those families that fill the pew and invite others, and just a fun bunch to know. And Andy eventually followed the Lord, loved Him also. And he was a leader in our church youth group, in spite of a rough beginning. When he was younger, I'd often see him in the hallway during Sunday school class, sitting outside of his class, and I said, Andy, don't you want to go to Sunday school today? Yeah. Andy, were you late and a little bit shy to go in? No. He said, I was bad. And a number of times, Andy kicked out of the Sunday school for just horsing around and talking too much. But he had a heart for Christ. And when he went to serve the country, it changed the life of our family for the better. One of my sons took up praying for him on a daily basis. Every night before my son would go to sleep in our little devotional time, he would say, Lord, something like this, bless Andy, keep him safe, and protect him. And our prayer life increased because we were praying for Andy. Our prayer life for missions as a group of people increased too, because we started to think of other countries and how God was working over there. So that helped us have a better mission heart for what was going on. Our whole church life became more concerned about walking closely to the Lord, because we had one of our own serving the country, serving Christ in a very dangerous situation. Our church would send him tapes occasionally of the worship services. And later on, he shared about how some of the guys and gals would maybe gather together and just listen to part of the service, people who were close to Christ, but also many who did not know Christ at all or go to church, just hearing some things about the Lord. Our church would pray that God would use Andy and ourselves to draw people closer to Him. And I remember thinking for myself and for the church, we can't take Christ lightly or take Him for granted, because we got this dear little fellow who I saw grow up serving overseas and, you know, risking his life so we could have the freedom to worship without harassment or difficulty here. And more importantly, my thoughts were drawn to Jesus Himself. He did give His life, literally, for each one, so that our hearts might be free and have the ability to follow God 100%. And He loves us 100%. And what a great gift it was, just connecting God's love for people, God's love for a nation, God's love for the nations. And I thought, boy, I started to pray for our country more. I didn't want America to be a rebel country, or just known as a secular country away from God. But Lord, help us be continuously be a blessed country. We need You so much, like we did from the beginning. And during times of hardship or war or conflict, the Lord invites us to times of seeking Him out, or times of repentance. And the passage that was read today, the Lord was telling His people, look, if things ever really go bad and are really difficult, which they will happen, He said, this is what I want you to do. Humble yourselves and pray and seek My face and turn from your sinful ways. Difficult times are times to turn to Christ. Jesus says to America, during one of our birthday times tomorrow and throughout the whole year, He says to America, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This is how we know true freedom in our hearts. It's life from Christ. And in 1776, when our country declared its independence, they were under a rough time of tyranny from another. And the country happened to be Great Britain. And the tyranny is the oppressive rule of someone too big for you. That's what tyranny is. And so listen to what reading from a part of the Declaration of Independence, how the tyranny was seen and felt by the colonists and by the founding fathers. They said this about Great Britain, who's our friends now. They said, he waged war against us. He's burned our towns, destroyed our lives. He is transporting foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death. Those colonists were saying, hey, we can't live like this. We're going to perish because of the way that this tyranny is coming upon us. And they knew it was too big for them. They had to do something, and they needed divine intervention. They were saying, we have to be free or perish. And the colonists cried out to God for help. You know, it just wasn't a self-assertion kind of thing and said, we're going to be independent and live like we want to. So forget about you, Great Britain. It wasn't that kind of a heart. It was a crying out to God for help. We need Your guidance in this new endeavor that we're going to have. And they prayed. They prayed to the Lord. Reading from the Declaration of Independence, further words. They said this toward the end of what they signed. We, the representatives of the United States of America, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. What does that mean? They were saying, hey, we need God's help, the Supreme Judge of the world, to know even how our hearts are during this time of 1776. You know, in and around July 2nd, July 4th. We need God to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. That's kind of like Psalm 139 when David prayed, Lord, search my heart. See if there's wicked ways in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. That's what they wanted. They wanted uprightness in the heart. They needed God's guidance to do the right thing. What a good example we have in the founding fathers. They went on to write this. We declare independence with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. They were saying, we need help for this. We don't think we could be a country without God and without His help. And so they had that heart attitude to be free from tyranny only with God's help. And in the life you and I face as American people, American Christians perhaps, we should know there's a tyranny that gets us also. It's just as rough and difficult and more so than just one big country, Great Britain, picking on the colonists. And that tyranny is the tyranny of sin. Sin is a harsh, oppressive ruler that's too big for us to handle on our own. It will wipe us out and keep us down without God's help. It's a horrible tyrant. And anybody who's dealt a little bit seriously with the Lord and with life knows sin is a terrible tyrant, and only the greatness and love and power of Christ can deliver us. The self is a tyrant also, if you try to run your own life. It's selfish, and without God's intervention, the tyranny of self and selfishness will destroy you. Living yourself will cause you to cave in on yourself, and that only Christ can set us free from that. And He comes knowing we're under the tyranny of sin and can help us, gives His life for us literally on the cross, just like a good soldier would in battle. He went willingly. Rises from the dead. So we could be different inside, truly free. And I don't know, you know, our president now, he's one of his big themes is, President Bush, he says, I don't know anybody in the world who doesn't want to be free. Give people a choice. You know, do you want somebody on your case all the time, making it rough on you? Or do you want to have an opportunity to say, to be what God made us to be? The gospel says only Christ can do that for us. Hear the good news of God's kingdom in the heart. Only He could bring freedom from the tyranny of sin. He brings forgiveness, so we don't have to be weighed down, thinking His wrath's on us, He's out to get us, you know. Forgiveness. There's nothing like the exhilaration of forgiveness. One of the fathers, I think, founding fathers, I think it was Ben Franklin, said, there's nothing like the exhilaration of being shot at without result. Okay, in a war. I've never had that experience. Maybe some people in the room have. But in terms of being without God, shot at by condemnation from self or by our own rebellion or by the evil one himself, when Christ is our forgiver and protector, that's without result. Hey, we're accepted in the Lord. We're free to be close to Him. That's what we were made to be. And then the freedom from the power of sin. I don't have to do the dumb things in rebellion against God I've done most of my life. With His help, I can be different. Live like a person set free. And the Lord gave His people Israel some directions on saying, when things get rough, don't forget to turn to Me. We do that for ourselves against sin, for the nation against the sin, if America's in rebellion. He told Israel to do this so we could do this too. First, He said, with the Holy Spirit's help, He said, this is what I want my people to do. Humble themselves, pray, seek My face, and turn from their sinful ways. Something anybody at any age could do. The veteran Christians setting the example, younger ones also. Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face. The colonists and the founding fathers had a humble attitude even in the Declaration of Independence. Because they kept saying, we need God's help for this. We want Him to judge our thoughts and our intentions. They were not, the colonists, you know, and the founding fathers were not saying, hey, world, watch us. We're going to be the number one nation in the world. We're going to be the greatest. They didn't have that hard attitude. There was one country that did. That was Great Britain. You know, and they messed up. When they became just proud of themselves, I guess with a name like Great Britain, hard not to get proud. But the founding fathers fled spiritual pride. They said, we need God's help if we're going to be any kind of a blessed nation at all. If anything good's going to happen to us, it'll be God's grace and mercy. And that was healthy patriotism that they had. And Jesus tells a story about that. Two fellows come to pray in the temple. He says, one guy, he gets up and prays, Lord, I thank You that I'm not like other people. And he had a tendency to look down on others, you know. And one fellow, he came to temple to pray, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he could pray. Jesus said, that second fellow, He knew God's peace. The first fella, I thank you, Lord, I'm not as bad as anybody else. We as Americans, you know, we are to be the most thankful people. But we're not to be saying, hey, we're the greatest that ever came down the pike. Because if you're really a great nation, you don't have to say it. You just be thankful to the Lord. He'll say it. I bless these young ones. That's the Lord's way. The colonists had that hard attitude. Thomas Jefferson, he knew, even though he penned the Declaration of Independence, he was a bright man and gifted and all that. He knew America was very dependent on God. He wrote this, "I tremble for my country when I think that God is just and His justice cannot sleep forever." He was saying, we're going to need God's grace and mercy if we're going to even, you know, get out of the 1700s. Here we are, praise the Lord, 2005. America was able to repent because America humbled itself before God. When the Lord showed our nation national sins, sometimes it took a while, but eventually America repented. We don't want to be away from God anymore or His ways. When slavery was a problem in the nation, many of the founding fathers against it, some just fitting in with whatever's happening, American people said, we're not going to do this anymore. This is sin against God and against people. America learned how to repent by turning to the Lord constantly in many other areas. The way the country looked at treated women, the way the country treated the American Indians. When we see wrong that we've done, we say, Lord, let your mercy be with us so we can be a blessed great nation the way you want us to be. Will America keep on repenting? And that good example the colonists showed us. God says to Christians, humble yourselves and pray. I often think of, we in the church often say, you know, the problem with America is the folks who don't go to church. If everybody would just come to church, we say it with that. You know, they'd all be like us and the country would be tremendous. And then we know, oh man, maybe we better say that a different way. But the Lord calls us as His people to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek Him. How will unchurched people, secular people, humble themselves if they don't see Christians? Humble themselves and seek the Lord. We can, with God's help, set an example. We'll seek God and know how dependent we are on Him. And anything He points out in our lives or in our nation, if there's a sin of prayerlessness, publicly or in our own heart, we could repent of that. Heard a story of a fellow, he goes to a town meeting that wanted to reestablish prayer publicly in certain government experiences and also in school settings. So he's going on about that. At the end of the meeting, he kind of got, the Lord spoke to him and he said, you know, while I'm doing all this, I'm realizing that when I'm home, I hardly ever pray with my wife and my kids. He's saying, I'm going to start there. And then I'm going to work on what's happening in the public arena. Humble yourself. Pray. We repent from if greed and materialism takes us away from God because we were blessed. We repent from that. The colonists knew. In fact, they stated, they pledged to each other their lives and their fortunes. They knew it was better to be better to be poor and go through a lot of trials and be close to the Lord than to have a lot of stuff, have everything go well, and not be close to the Lord. Better to have a heart for God. Repent, humble yourself, pray, seek God's face. To seek His face is to know we don't seek, just ask for more blessings. We want God's way. God's way in our hearts and life. He's the best. So we turn to know Him better. And without that, we have pain in our soul. And we can't be a great nation. De Tocqueville, who visited our country about 50 years or so after it was established, he made a comment. He said this. He said, fairly famous comment. He was a French fella. He wrote, He went to see the goodness and greatness of America. He looked various areas and he couldn't find it. He said he found it among when people would gather to worship. He concluded America was great because America was good. That is, it had a righteousness from God. And if America ever stopped being good, the righteousness from Christ, America would cease being great. So he knew it was up to people seeking the Lord that really made the country the way God wanted it. And just close with a quote from Patrick Henry. And those colonists, they knew they needed Christ, forgiveness, and a continual walk to be a blessed nation. This is what Patrick Henry said toward the end of his life. He's talking about his family. He's ready to die. He wrote this. He said, "I have now dispersed all my property to my family. There's one thing more I wish to give them, and that is faith in Christ. If they had faith in Christ and I had not given them one penny," think about how we treat our family, you know. We got to give them stuff. Parents, said, what your heart is toward your children or your brothers and sisters. If I had given them faith in Christ and not given them one penny, they would be rich indeed. What's most important is we want people to be close to the Lord and know Him. If they didn't have faith in Christ, no matter what else I gave them, they would be poor indeed. And might we as God's people, just continuously want to live out what God told the Israelites. Humble ourselves and pray. It's the best way to be a good Christian citizen. Seek God's face, turn from our sinful ways. When we have communion together, that's when Jesus reminds us of how much we need Him. He invites us to a meal that He established. And the bread's His, and the cup is His, and He'd like the people to be His too. And He says, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim that I died for you until I come again. And so during communion time, it's our chance to be close to the Lord, to seek His face, to thank Him for Him, and to say, Lord, as we're so thankful to live in a free country. Help us, Lord, to be a Christian citizen by first being a Christian in our heart. And only the Lord can give us that forgiveness and that perseverance we need to do that. So we're going to pray together, and then I invite you to participate in communion with the Lord. Let Him search your heart to see where you're at with Him. Desire closeness. If you have not received Christ in your life, boy, He invites you to the table by saying, accept me in your heart and be a part of my meal. The Lord's Supper for us. Let's all pray together as His people. Father in heaven, we are a blessed people. I think of the Bible verse, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And we set ourselves apart for you, Jesus, at this time, and our hearts toward yourself. Thank you for dying so that tyranny that we would know in life without you might be taken away. We might be set free to know Christ. Because to know you is life and life in abundance. And Lord, we pray for other folks who have difficulties that they're seeking you out about. We ask for continued comfort for the Perry family as they grieve. We thank you for your help in the bodies of Rebecca Buzzy. Sustain her. Give her bright days ahead, Jesus. We hold before you others who are hurting, Mrs. Bright. We thank you for being with those in the military. Protect them. Help us pray for them every day. And might they pray and draw people to Christ. We remember Amanda Mueller or others who serve. Just give daily grace to them. Be with young ones, Louise Murray and Caitlin Petticord, that they might rejoice in you this week in their wonderful relationship with you. We hold before you Bible school and other times to reach out to people. Make us your people in these days, Lord Jesus. Help us draw close and help one another out in drawing close. And thank you for this time we could have with you and having this meal with you and each other. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.